We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you're blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be greatly appreciated. Your gift may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our flowers this morning are sponsored by Terry and Troy Nicholson in honor of Trinity Family, and the radio this morning is sponsored by Neil and Debbie Paffenberger in honor of Trinity Family. Saturday, November the 20th, from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock here at Trinity, will be offering a free community meal. If you need a good hot meal, please join us for this good Thanksgiving meal in Seymour. On Saturday, December the 4th, from 4 to 7, Trinity is opening their doors to the community once again. Families with children are invited to partake in the Night of Bethlehem. You will get to explore the city of Bethlehem by visiting the different shops. The children will get to paint an ornament, make pottery, bake flatbread, make custom nameplates, and much more. All this while learning why Jesus came to save us. It's all happening free at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. We are happy to have with us this morning Mr. Jeff Ellis, who will introduce our special speaker.
Okay. Yes, as I said, it's a great honor to be with you folks here this morning. And Clarence Brown, I first met him last year. My pastor, George Hanlon, would speak of him at times and tell how that God mightily used him in ministry in word and song. So I was looking forward to the day that I'd finally get to meet Clarence. And one day he walked through the doors of the church unexpectedly by surprise to us, but not to the Lord. And we had a glorious time in worshiping the Lord, in song, in praise, and adoration. He's from Bedford, Indiana. How many have been to Bedford before? Yeah. And he thought he knew what he wanted in life, but God had other plans. He may touch on that more. So come on down, Clarence.
The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. I know the Lord is blessing me right now, oh, right now. He woke me up this morning, then he started me on my way. Hey, I know that the Lord is blessing me right now. Oh, I know he is. The Lord is blessing you right now, oh, right now. I know the Lord is blessing you right now, oh, right now. He woke you up this morning, then he started you on your way. Hey, I know that the Lord is blessing us right now. Oh, I know he is. Would you give God a hand for me, please? Would you kindly take the hand of the person next to you? I know that we may, sister, have to do this separating and not touching, but we are in the house of God, and I'm not worried about nothing right now. And I got total faith in God that there is nothing that can happen to you that He doesn't want to happen to you. And we are in the total confidence. I'm in total confidence that God is in control, and there are no weapons formed that can come to do anything that God doesn't allow. So if you would you please take the hand of the person next to you? God, this is old Clarence. You know where I am, and you know what I'm doing, and you know who I'm with. And I just want to thank you, God, for allowing us to lay down last night and wake up and see a day that we have never seen. I want to thank you for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for your Son that you gave to the world that we might be saved. Thank you, Father, for my friend Jeff that was listening and around, and when they asked for somebody, God, he put my name there, but you knew that I would be here this morning, and you knew that I was the one that you wanted to come here, not for my reasons, God, but for your reasons. I want you to take care of the pastor of this church, and I thank you for them. And Father, I just know that you love us, and I know you care, and I know, God, that you have something for the people today. And I just ask you that you use me, and Father, while I decrease, I would ask that you would increase, that anything that I would say, Father, would be the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Thank you for everything you do for me, and thank you for being God in my life, and I thank you for allowing me to be here today. In Jesus' precious name, in His name, amen. Well, there is coming a great day, and it won't be very long. All the saints are gonna gather, church, we're gonna gather around God's throne, and then we're gonna feast on milk and honey. We're gonna sing and never get tired. I tell you, there is coming a great day when the Lord returns for His bride. Oh, there is coming a great day, and it won't be very long. All the saints are gonna gather, church, we're gonna gather around God's throne, and then we're gonna feast on milk and honey. We're gonna sing and never get tired. I tell you, there is coming a great day when the Lord returns for His bride. Well, I know not the day, nor do I know the hour, when the Son of Man will return in all of His glory and power. It may be in the morning, it may be in the noon, but I can tell just by looking at the signs of the times that His coming will be very soon. Oh, there is coming a great day, and it won't be very long. When all the saints are gonna gather, church, we're gonna gather around God's throne, and then we're gonna feast on milk and honey. We're gonna sing and never get tired. I tell you, there is coming a great day when the Lord returns for His bride. Well, you've had a lot of pain and sorrow. You've had a lot of troubles and trials. Just one glimpse of those pearly gates gonna make it all worth your while. Sometimes you had to cry in the midnight hour, your body's all hurting with pain. But when you behold your Savior's face, He's gonna wipe every tear away. Oh, there is coming a great day, and it won't be very long. When all the saints are gonna gather, I know we're gonna gather around God's throne, and then we're gonna feast on milk and honey. We're gonna sing and never get tired. I tell you, there is coming a great day. I said, there is coming a great day. I said, there is coming a great day when the Lord returns for His bride. Can you give God a hand for me, please? God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove our Savior, He lives. Now, them little beautiful children there a while ago, that's so beautiful. Put them in that aisle and let them pick up that money, huh? And some of you have some grandchildren. Some of you have some children that are grown now. But you know what? How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy yes He may give. Oh, but greater still, this part I love about it, is the calm assurance those children can face uncertain days, 'cause Jesus He lives, all because He lives. We can face tomorrow because He lives. All fear should be gone because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And none of us are going to be here always. And I know myself, it's going to come down to someday. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll find life fine. No war with pain. And they say Jesus is coming out of the east. And just as death gives way to victory, I'll see the light, and I'll know that our Savior, He lives, all because He lives. Don't worry, church. We can face tomorrow, because I know Jesus lives. All fear should be gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And life is worth the living just because Jesus lives. Will you give God another hand for me? Now I want to say good morning to you, and I want to thank this church, Trinity United Methodist, for inviting me to come. And I want to thank the pastor of the church, which I know you're sitting in for, sister. And I like to call the brothers and sisters. I know we have titles and everything, but when I'm in Christ Jesus and He tells me that it's my brothers and sisters, all I see this morning is my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I can't see nothing else. My mother, sister Francis Brown, and brother George Thomas Brown, They taught us in our family to do nothing but love. I had a mother that didn't believe in nothing, but you gotta love everybody. And when I would be outside playing and somebody might hurt these little old feelings that I had, I'd come into Mama and tell her that somebody called me a name or something. You know what she'd say? Go back outside and play, boy, and tell them that you love them. By the time I got back out there, ain't gonna fight nobody anyway. Me and the other kid, we're back playing. But Mama, I found out that that one thing that Mama taught us, love, L-O-V-E. She taught us that she would not go for anything else. No fighting amongst us in the house. And when anybody come to our house, she wasn't worried about anything. Mama invited them into the house, whether they were clean or whether they were dirty. My mama never turned nobody away. And at the time, I didn't understand everything. You know how we are. We don't always understand. Well, when it comes to God, we don't have to understand. All we got to do is believe. That understanding belongs to God. And in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and lean not to your own understanding. And today, if you look at what's going on, I ain't liking to pick on people, but there's a whole lot of people that are just leaning to their own understanding. It's whatever me, myself, and I think. And I thought it was we. If I'm not mistaken, don't that Constitution say we the people? What happened to we the people? Huh? So I say the Christians need to just get ourselves on fire for the Lord and start talking about that Jesus that we serve. And God will honor that, and he is in control, and he's going to do what he said he will do. And I just thank you this morning that I'm looking out here at a beautiful congregation that belongs to the Lord. And I hope and pray that everyone here knows Jesus and has accepted Jesus as your Savior. And that's the first thing I want to get over to them, Jeff, that if you haven't, you need to consider Jesus. You need to think about him and him dying on that cross that we talk about and the things that we know that Jesus did for us. And he only did it because of what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's anybody. So if he can say that, then we want to make sure that we don't make anyone feel lesser than what they might already feel. I work down at the men's homeless center there by my house. And I, you know, when you tell God that you'll do anything and you'll go anywhere, when you got to remember who you're talking to. And when you tell him, I'll do this and I'll do that, he's expecting you to do what you say you'll do. And so I volunteer to go down there and work for them. And what I love about it is, while I'm thinking about my condition, I think more about their condition. And they're sleeping outside and they don't have clothes, they don't have food. And I'm thinking, how in the world, Clarence, how can you go home and get up in your big chair and put a plate of food in your lap and sit there and be in the warmth of the temperature to turn the heat on and eat food and have your wife there and everything, and these guys are sleeping outside? Shame on you, Clarence. Now, that didn't happen to me, but I'm trying to say, without getting at anybody else, shame on who? Anybody else that don't think like that. You got to put others before yourself. And I would not be comfortable turning that television on and sitting there. And I know some guy, I see him out walking the street and they don't have anywhere. So when we had our warming center last year, they was always, the building wasn't up to spec, but God had got them somewhere. And then they were talking about it was going to close. It was going to close. Well, all I could think about, yes, you're going to condemn the building and you're going to close the building, but what about these guys? What about the men that need somewhere to sleep and somewhere to stay? So you know what I did? There's a phrase that I use. I told God, you are going to get them somewhere to go and you're going to take care of them, and I ain't going to apologize to him or nothing else. You're going to get them somewhere to go. Everybody's talking this and everybody's talking that, but this is, that's why when I come to him in my prayer, I say, this is Clarence. I don't want nobody else to get in trouble for what I'm saying. It's on me. I'm one-on-one with God, and me and him have a relationship, so I don't want him to take anything out on you, and I don't want you to misunderstand. But when God has done for you what he has done, you know what he's done, and you know that he understands you, and you know that he's for you, not against you. So when it comes to me talking to him, I don't know why I would want to talk to somebody in a way that if they can't do nothing for me, Brother Jeff, I probably won't ask them to do nothing because they can't do nothing. That's what false gods do. You talk to a false god, he can't do nothing for you. I like talking to the true and living God. Huh? The God that listens and the God that cares, and he's there. And I want you, that's what I come to tell you this morning. I have my own personal relationship with God, which anybody can have that. God will let you have a relationship with him. And when you have that relationship with him, it's between you and him. And I don't allow anybody else to kind of come in and tell me, you know, I don't want to be a know-it-all, and I don't want to be the type of guy that thinks he's done everything. No, I've only gotten to do what God has allowed me to do. Because we can't wake ourselves up. We can't lay down. We lay down, but we can't wake ourselves up. God takes care of everything. And when you look back over your life, that's what I have to say. As I look back over my life, and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I got a testimony. Well, as I look back over my life, and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I got a testimony. Well, sometimes I couldn't see my way through, but the Lord, he brought me out. Right now I see I got the victory. I got a testimony. Well, as I look back over my life, and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Now I can truly say that I've been blessed. Now I can truly say that I've been blessed. I got a testimony. Would you give God a hand? Now, there's something I want to know. I was 10 minutes late, or 15, so that means do I quit 15 minutes early? No. No, I wasn't concerned. And I'm being me, ma'am. I don't worry too much about time because the time doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. Now, I don't want to come up here and just take up all your time with you being on the way that you decide to have your church. But sometimes when Jesus came around, things got changed. It didn't go the way everybody thought it was going to go. And I don't want to keep anybody and make anybody mad, but sometimes when Clarence comes around, it don't go the way you think it's going to go. Because God knows I talk to him about you. When I get ready to go somewhere, you don't know me. You may have heard of me. You don't know me. Anybody can come up, and I feel this way, church. Anybody can come up and talk to you and sing if you know how to sing and do and be. Anybody can come up and do that, but I want to say this much. God knows when you're real and when you're not. He knows when you're real and when you're not. And shame on Clarence if I'm not trying to be for real right now about who I am and what I am. Now, I want to let you know, back there in 1970 to 73, I was a basketball star over there in Bedford, Indiana. And as you play basketball, and I was pretty good and everything, but as you play basketball, you play different teams throughout your time of playing. And we never played Brownstown. We never played Medora. We played Jeffersonville. We played New Albany. And then we played them Seymour Owls. Now you see how I kind of changed? Never could beat the Seymour Owls. Barron Hill. All them guys that played with Barron. We come over here for a regular season, and then you can't beat them then. And then what happens? You get in the sectional and you win. And where do you have to go play the regional? Seymour, Indiana. I'm still thinking that one of these times I'm going to get these guys. We're going to beat them. Huh? Never happened. Lost to Seymour every time. Huh? Why? Because, ma'am, they had good teams and they had good players and they had good coaches. And that's what makes the difference. And now I'm on the best team ever. I've got the best head coach. It was Jesus Christ. It's God. He's got an assistant coach, which is Jesus. And the third assistant coach is the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to lose any games now. And all I want to do, it's not about losing games. It's about winning souls. We won some ball games. But now, for me, I'm in the business of winning more souls than you do. I want to be the one that when I get there, that God will say, at least I talked to one person. At least one. Have you talked to one person about Jesus? Have you talked to someone about God? I know we talk about a lot of other things, but I want to know, have you talked to anybody about Jesus? Have you told them about what he has done in your life and what it means when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For what? What did he give him for? To save us. And that's what he came for, was to save us. Now I want to let you know, I know that we're supposed to be out of here and try to be done at 10:30. Well, I'll tell you what, I can do that. I don't have to be up here. I think that first song I did this morning, I could have just said amen and we can go home. Because if God had not woke us up this morning, what would we be doing? Nothing. Nothing now. Everything you've got planned for the day, if you had not woke up this morning, all those plans that we had, it won't do any good because you're not going to get to do nothing. So if we have to be here, why don't we be happy, be thankful? Because God says, I am great and greatly to be praised. Huh? Because he woke me up this morning. He started me on my way, sleeting and snowing a little bit on the way over here. And if my mama, which my mother passed away in 2008, my dad passed away, went to heaven. Let me change that. I don't like lost. I don't like those kind of, they went to heaven. My mother went to heaven in 2008. My father went to heaven in 2006. My oldest sister of the family, seven children, God came and got the firstborn because my mother said she did not want none of the children to die before her. So in 2008, when my mother passes away, a brother went to Vietnam. I escaped something I'm going to tell you a little bit about here. And then in 2010, the Lord came and got the firstborn of the family, of the children. And she went home. Then my dad went home in 2017. And then 2020, the 23rd of September, my oldest daughter, which was 48 years old, the Lord came and got her. And I said to him, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he upheld me with that because he knows that I know what happens when you, I don't like to use the word die. He knows that I know that my mother's not dead. My father's not dead. My sister's not dead. And my daughter's not dead because I do not accept that word death. You know why? Because my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ robbed the grave and took the sting out of death. And he says in John, the 11th and the 25th and 26th chapter, I know it, but He says, although you live, you'll die, you'll live, you'll never die. Now, what does that mean? Jesus says you'll never die. So why would I want to go around? Now, this is for me, to help me with my daughter and everything. Why would I want to go around and say my daughter's dead when Jesus says they're not? Why would I want to use that word and claim that they're dead when he says they're not? He calls it sleeping. He calls it sleep. So I just feel like that they're where God wants them to be. And I'll tell you what, anything that God does, I'm satisfied with, man. Huh? I'm the clay. He's the creator. And the clay doesn't tell the creator what to do. Or the clay doesn't say that I don't like what you made me. Well, then I'll tell you what, if I got the clay there and that clay starts talking to me and it's been a clump of clay, you know what I'll tell that old clay? I'm going to see what you're going to do with this. If he don't like what I made him, then I'll turn him back into just a clump of clay and I'll leave him there. And he ain't going to be able to do nothing without me. That's kind of the way it is. It may seem silly, things that I use, but I think I just want to make it simple. He's the creator. You don't tell him what to do. You ask him, and you can ask him in any way you want to, but you don't tell him what to do because he's God, and he's God all by himself. And he's an almighty God. We got something running around here now that it's scaring people, and a lot of people have lost their lives, and other things are taking people's lives. But you know, God is in control of everything, and I feel like we're getting a little bit too scared of something that when they brought the sick and people that were crippled and blind, they laid them at the feet of our Savior. You know what my Bible says? It doesn't say he healed some of them, a few of them. It says he healed them all. All. So it don't make no difference what comes. It don't make no difference what happens. No one can tell me that Jesus can't fix it. Now, for me, I've had to do this, and then I'm going to tell you a little story, and then I'm going to sing one more song, and then I want to turn it back over to the hands, unless y'all want some more. Okay? I'm not saying I want to be obedient to what the Methodist Church likes to do. And I sometimes have, not trouble, but when I get to talking about God and knowing that I know what I'm talking about, I just want to help somebody out there that might not know him and might not know what he can do. And when he's done something in your life, you know what he can do and you depend on him. So at times I've had to do this. I wish my choir was here. Not mine, it's God's choir, but sometimes you know you have to sing lead and you got to do backup too. And God's given me that ability. Trouble in my way, trouble in my way. I gotta cry sometime, cry sometime. Talking about trouble, trouble in my way. I gotta cry sometime. Cry sometime. I lay awake at night. I lay awake at night. But that's alright. That's alright. Cause I know Jesus. Jesus, he will fix it after a while. After a while. Trouble in my way, trouble in my way. I gotta moan sometime, moan sometime. Oh, talking about trouble, trouble in my way. I gotta moan sometime, moan sometime. I lay awake at night, I lay awake at night. But that's alright, that's alright. Cause I know Jesus, Jesus, he will fix it. I know Jesus, Jesus, he will fix it. He fixed it for Peter, Jesus, he will fix it. He fixed it for John, Jesus, he will fix it. He fixed it for my mother, Jesus, he will fix it. He fixed it for my father, Jesus, he will fix it. He fixed it for my sister, Jesus, he will fix it. He fixed it for my daughter, Jesus, he will fix it. He'll fix it for me, Jesus, he will fix it. He'll fix it for you, Jesus, he will fix it. After a while, trouble in my way. Trouble in my way. I gotta cry sometime. Cry some time talking about trouble, trouble in my way. I gotta cry sometime. I lay awake at night. But church, that's alright, that's alright. I know Jesus, He will fix it.